I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 117 are Don Donfries.
Good evening, everybody.
Terry Hawkins.
Good day, eh?
And Kevin Crossman.
Jumbo, everyone, jumbo.
Now, tonight, as Kevin may have tipped off there, although that's his usual greeting anyway, but tonight we're going to be talking about hidden gems of Disney's Animal Kingdom, and we're actually going to include the Animal Kingdom Lodge as well. But before we get to our favorite hidden gems, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor once again, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Fairytale Journeys would love to work with you on your next Disney vacation. They work with Disney World Vacations, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise Line, any of those destinations. Just check out their website at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, guys, so I guess this is sort of a popular topic these days, talking about hidden gems of Animal Kingdom. Right, Kevin?
Well, yes, a new podcast, Radio Harambe, has come on the scene, and it's devoted to Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and a recent episode was on this very topic of hidden gems. So they would be another source for this sort of material and worth listening to for sure.
So we're not in competition because, frankly, when it comes to Animal Kingdom Park, I think we'd get blown out of the water. But our perspectives are a little different, and so I think we'll still have some interesting things to share. I do encourage you to check out what the folks over at Radio Harambe have to say because they do know their stuff about Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge especially. But we're going to give you our hidden gems from a dad's perspective. Kevin and I were both aware of that other show but have made a point of avoiding listening before we record. So you're getting our dad's honest, our own thoughts on the hidden gems of Animal Kingdom and Animal Kingdom Lodge. And just to kind of refresh your memory, because this is the fourth of this series, and it's been a while since we've recorded one of these, when we talk about a hidden gem, we're talking about things that are maybe a little off the beaten path or things that are not, you know, your e-ticket attractions. I mean, you know, Expedition Everest is a gem of Animal Kingdom theme park, but it's not hidden. It's pretty obvious. However, there may be things around there that are hidden that we want to try and draw your attention to. And really, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about when we talk about hidden gems. And so why don't we go ahead and get started with this, and I'm going to toss it over to Kevin first. Kevin, why don't you share one of your Animal Kingdom hidden gems?
Sure, thanks. And Animal Kingdom, in some sense, is an entire park of hidden gems because everybody knows about Expedition Everest, everybody knows about Kilimanjaro Safaris, but there's a lot of people who come to this park and do those two attractions and then leave, and there's all kinds of things to look at and explore in this park, and we could do hours and hours of those sorts of things. But I'll include one here to start with. And one of the things about Animal Kingdom that people often overlook on their race to the e-ticket attraction is that there are a lot of animal exhibits that are of the smaller attraction type variety. And so on the Discovery Island, underneath the Tree of Life, there are actually a series of animal attractions. And one that I want to highlight is the river otters. And it's a really nice display because you get to see them below the water and above the water, depending on which side of the exhibit you come into. And anybody who's seen otters play, it can be really fun to watch, and they do a lot of funny things, and they're always moving around. And it's one of those things where, depending on what's going on, you could lose 10 or 15 minutes just staring at these and enjoying the otters. And it's right there on Discovery Island on the way up to Africa. So check it out.
All right. That's a great one. Nice way to start the show. Thanks for that, Kevin. And why don't we bounce on over to Terry Hawkins. And Terry, why don't you share one of your Animal Kingdom hidden gems with us?
Well, I'm going to start at the beginning, and that's the Oasis. Everybody, as Kevin pointed out, races out towards Expedition Everest or Safari right off the bat. I like to spend a good half day, three quarters of a day, just right in the Oasis. That's what sets up the Animal Kingdom, that it's not like the other parks. It's not going from attraction to attraction. It's sit back, relax, and take it all in. it's also got some great hidden seating areas, which, as we know with the Animal Kingdom, it's very hot. If you're lucky and you find one of the few benches that are around, you can sit there and just enjoy the smaller animal displays, the waterfalls, and just the sounds, and just watch the people pass you by as you relax.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. And Don, how about you?
Mine's less hidden, but it's something that a lot of people don't always take in their quest for fast pass and getting to a ride right away, is the queue in Expedition Everest. Especially the not going through like the single rider or the fast pass line, but if you go through the main line and really pay attention, the amount of displays that they have about the Yeti, the history of the Yeti, all the different artifacts, photographs of artifacts or of findings or of supposed findings. It's really, I mean, I could spend a couple hours in there going through that stuff. I love, I never mind waiting in line for that ride because I love going through all that stuff. It's really amazing. All the details that they, and especially all the details that Disney went through to put into there to really give it a real feel for that you're actually in the area of there and getting a good feel for it.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, that's one of those things that, as Terry was talking about, you know, just before you too, that Animal Kingdom, in order to really appreciate it, you can't approach it the same way you approach touring Hollywood Studios or touring the Magic Kingdom, because if you do, you miss what Animal Kingdom is all about. And what you're talking about is a great example. I mean, yeah, you can race to Everest at rope drop. You can, you know, walk on the attraction first thing and come back out and grab fast passes and do the fast pass line. And you can ride Expedition Everest two or three times and never see that queue. And if you've done that, you've cheated yourself out of half of the attraction, in my opinion.
Whether you want to believe in the Yeti or not, you know, who knows? But you start going through that and you're going, oh, maybe there is, because, you know, there's just been so much stuff put forward about it, and they've really captured it with it, you know.
Right.
And they really give you – I think they, you know, I could spend a ton of time in there.
The nice thing about this queue, too, is that it feels organic as opposed to some of the things that they've done with queues, the enhanced queues in especially Magic Kingdom, where it feels like you're being overly programmed to with some of these electronic and interactive elements. I really like this queue a lot myself.
Yeah, it's certainly a different kind of queue. You know, the Winnie the Pooh queue and places like that are almost sort of play places that are bolted onto the line. Whereas the queue at Expedition Everest is a walkthrough attraction of its own, not just sort of a playground. Well, I think the first thing I'm going to mention, and I guess it still counts as a hidden gem, even though we've been talking about it on the podcast quite a bit. I know that Eric Anderson and I have both talked about it a lot, and I'm excited because I'm going to be on the phone tomorrow morning. I finally got the wife to commit, and so for our next trip, we're going to try it ourselves. But at the Animal Kingdom Lodge on Wednesday evenings from 3 to 4 o'clock at GECO, they have a wine tasting. GECO has one of the most extensive, if not the most extensive, collections of South African wines in the United States. And they do a sample of three different South African wines, and then they'll pour you a full glass of whichever one you like the most. They pair that with fruit and cheese and all those, you know, traditional wine tasting accompaniments. Price is really reasonable for this kind of thing. And you get what amount to, two glasses of wine each. So it really, I mean, you'd pay that just for the wine in a bar for four decent glasses of wine. So I think this is just a magnificent little hidden gem, and I think what keeps it hidden is that it's only offered once a week. It's a little bit of an awkward time if you're a park commando, but we've decided it's worth carving out an afternoon and making sure that we are there from 3 to 4 to enjoy the wine tasting at GECO on a Wednesday late afternoon.
That's awesome, Aaron. We're going to have to take that in while we're there in November.
Yeah, we'll have a steady stream now since, you know, Eric and I have been pumping it now for the last 2 months.
You know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge is really one of those resorts where maybe you don't feel quite so guilty about missing park touring. One of the more unique ones in that respect, probably.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I think we're probably going to come back around to that because that's why I felt like we needed to include the hidden gems in the lodge as well as in the park, because they really share an aesthetic and share the same sort of immersive goal. So we'll come back around to you, Kevin, and maybe you'll share another of your hidden gems.
All right. So one of the nice things about Animal Kingdom is that the Imagineers have layered in a lot of backstory. If you're willing to look for it, it's really there and kind of in plain sight. So one of the good examples is Restaurantsaurus. And this is a quick service location, and, you know, food is Disney quick service, so nothing to write home about. But and you may do better food-wise in other locations at Animal Kingdom, but there's a lot of detail in this restaurant. There's all kinds of different rooms that tell the backstory of the Disney Institute, the Dino Institute. And there's like a library in there with a mix of real books along with these sort of fake books. So they have books like Allosaurus in Wonderland and that sort of thing. So you get the idea. And it all talks about, of course, the fact that the world ended for the dinosaurs and all this sort of thing. So I think if you're in that area, especially if it's a hot afternoon, get an ice cream, get a snack, whatever, and just spend some time wandering around Restaurantsaurus, because there's lots of hidden details in there you could spend a lot of time checking out.
All right. Great tip. In some ways, it reminds me a little bit of Backlot Express and the Hollywood Studios side, where, you know, there's just all kinds of little hidden gags and things all over the place, and only even more so. All right. So how about you, Don? What else do you have for us?
Mine's a little more obvious, but it's still something that you don't always see is the vine. The decorated walking vine, I guess. How else to describe it? But if you've ever seen that, I'm sure you guys all have, but that's truly something very unique to see, and it's always an enjoyable 10-15 minutes of watching how people interact with it and how she moves around, and it's pretty cool. So that's always something we like to try to catch whenever we're there, for sure.
Yeah, and just as of earlier this week, really, Divine now has a I don't know whether it's a compatriot or a competitor. Kevin, you want to talk a little bit about Bamboo?
Well, sure. It's the same idea. You have a person in stilts, but they're camouflaged in a natural covering. And it's obviously a bamboo aesthetic as opposed to a vine aesthetic. And you can often see this in the trail between Africa and Asia. And this is actually kind of a divisive topic and subject for Animal Kingdom fans, because there's some people out there that don't love Divine, but I think it's kind of cool, and I think it speaks to what makes Animal Kingdom special, which is sort of a slow down and relaxed kind of pace. And I think these walk around characters like that are unique and interesting and fun to watch. So I agree, that's a great choice.
All right, Terry, how about you?
I like some of the really hidden details in Animal Kingdom. I mean, the whole park is basically an attraction of detail that has got so many levels to it. If you take a look at the signage, you'll notice that the signs over the retail areas are herbivores, and the signs over the restaurants tend to be carnivores. It's that sort of level of detail that you really have to sit back. And that's where I say You've got to spend your time there. If you just walk past it, you're never going to notice it. If you're in the park 10 times, you'll probably never notice it. But once you clue in to all those hidden gems, then the park really takes on a new meaning to it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning, that Animal Kingdom is almost a one giant collection of hidden gems. The whole story of the park is in all of those details that are just all over the place.
Yeah, it is. And you have to be clued in a little bit, but once you know what to look for, it jumps out at you and it just goes into the whole setting. And it's what Disney does. It's not an amusement park. It's a whole immersive experience.
It's not a zoo.
No, it's not.
It's also not a half day park, but okay. Yeah.
No.
Totally agree.
Animal Kingdom
is
a 2 or 3 day park at least. The Oasis might be a half day part of it.
All right. Well, I'm going to suggest something that is maybe not so hidden, except that it's so new that people may not know about it yet. And I want to let people know about it because I want them to plan for it, because I think this is going to be a tremendous eye-opener for the people who still see Animal Kingdom as a half-day park, because I think this is a great way to sort of learn about how much more there is about Animal Kingdom. And that's the new Wilderness Explorers experience. Basically, what they've done is bring the whole interactive game aspect, I hesitate to say like Sorcerer's the Magic Kingdom, to Animal Kingdom. It's not like Sorcerer's, because it's not about, you know, LCD screens and cards that get read. Rather, it is sort of a guided tour of a lot of these really wonderful hidden details of Disney's Animal Kingdom. The kids get a Wilderness Explorer's handbook, and as they go from location to location guided by the handbook, they get stickers to fill in their handbook. So it's not, they're not out to defeat something. It's not a card game. It is experience. But what I like about it is that it draws people through the park from place to place and encourages them to check out things that would otherwise often get pushed to the wayside and make the park feel like a half-day park, because their entire park day was spent running from Expedition Everest to Dinosaur to Cali River Rapids. Wilderness Explorer, the game really encourages you to slow down and appreciate these other details. And so I think it's a great way to introduce yourself to, how to make Animal Kingdom what it's supposed to be, that full-day immersive park.
Sounds really awesome.
All right, so Kevin, I think we're back around to your turn again.
All right, so I'll talk about something which is sort of hidden, but I really do think it's a gem of this park, which is the Wild Africa Trek. For those of you who don't know what this is a tour experience. It's an additional cost. And what it allows you to do is go behind backstage a little bit and see some of the animals, like the hippos and crocodiles, super up close. You have an extended segment on the safari, including a lunch. And you get to go across those rope bridges that you see above the crocodile pits on the Kilimanjaro Safari. And, we could spend a whole time about this tour, but I think my point being is that it's not just the stuff that you see when you're on the Kilimanjaro Safaris, but that there are some backstage portions that you would never get to see otherwise. And I think it's a really special experience for the people that enjoy this park, and for this, the opportunity you have to spend a closer and a time with the animals. And again, this is not a cheap tour, $180 per person ish, plus or minus. But it is a very special experience that's worth considering.
Okay. Well, thanks for the tip about it. It's pricey, but some things are worth the investment. All right, so Terry, what's another one on your list?
Shade. You know, shade in Animal Kingdom is a little bit tough to come by at times. The park does hold more of its heat, so finding those shaded, cooler areas can be a great thing. As I mentioned earlier, there are some benches out in the Oasis. There's a little bit of seating around Harambe Village by the washrooms, and that's nice because you can listen to the live band. And across the way at the Dawa Bar, of course, that's shaded in there. And that has other benefits of sitting in there. And also the Flame Tree Barbecue seating out behind there. There's just some wonderful spots, and it's hidden from view. I'd never seen it. I'd been to the park 6 times, had never walked back in there. And I only went there under Aaron's suggestion. And it's phenomenal. The views you get from there change your views of the park. If you're able to get one of the water views, there's multiple tiers, and they're scattered around. So even though there's quite a number of seats, it also feels like you've got your own private viewing area. It's really well done, and there are many of them that have shading. So that's another great place just to sit back, relax, enjoy your lunch, maybe a libation, and cool off a little.
All right. Sounds great. Don, how about you?
Mine would be, even though it's, again, not the most hidden thing, I think it's something that people kind of rushed by, is the Tree of Life, the trunk itself, all the carvings.
That's a great point.
And the trails around it. There's a bunch of little trails around it that most people don't even, probably even, aren't even aware are there, because, you know, they're more interested in just getting to see Bug's Life. All the amazing carving of all the animals on there. It just, that's always a fun little exploration, just trying to find all the different animals and see which ones how many different ones you can identify. There's like, I think, was it like 325 different carvings on there, all different sizes. So it's always one that we enjoy doing. Just walking around there a little bit.
All right. Well, my next hidden gem is going to play off of one of the things that Terry mentioned, which is the Dawa Bar. And I know it came up previously in the podcast where we talked about beer around Walt Disney World, but it bears mentioning here too, because I think one of the hidden gems of Animal Kingdom is this little hole-in-the-wall Dawa Bar that has, in addition to everything else on its menu, which is mostly a drink menu, but the in addition to, you know, the regular things you would expect to find, it has bottles of beer from Africa. There aren't many places where you're going to find African beer imports, and it's a great chance to relax. As Terry mentioned, there's some shaded areas there where with their, you know, seats you can pull up to the bar, have a nice cold beer from Africa. How better to immerse yourself in the environment of, you know, the Africa part of the Animal Kingdom theme park than to relax looking over that gorgeous savanna with a cold beer from Africa?
I'm sold. Can we go there now?
All right. I'll be there to pick you up in about 10 and a half hours.
All right.
All right. So, Kevin, let's do one more round. What do you got for us?
Well, actually, mine is right in that same area. It is the Kusafiri Coffee Shop and Bakery. Our family is rope drop type people, and so that means if we have breakfast, it's going to be light, and we're not doing the 90-minute character breakfast, giant sit-down thing, which means after we hit those key attractions, come around 10:30 or so, it is time for a snack. And this Kusafiri Coffee Shop is located just down the way from the Dawa Bar and Tusker House on the way to the Kilimanjaro Safaris there on that side. And, you know, it's a little coffee shop, and you get the croissants and the bagels and the muffins and cinnamon rolls and danishes and all that kind of stuff. So nothing that's too exotic here, but I think it's a good spot in the park for this sort of opportunity to have a snack. And for us, it's perfectly timed for the rest of our park touring. And then if you go across the way behind the Tamotamo, there's some sort of seating behind there, and it feels like you're in the ruins of an old city, and it's very shaded back there as well. And so that can be another opportunity to kind of relax while you're eating your goodies from the coffee shop.
Okay. Kevin, do they have the iced coffee there as well that they have at the front of the park?
According to my menu, the answer is no, but I guess anything might be possible.
Because you really need nice coffee by that point.
Yeah, actually, according to all ears, they do have iced coffee, French vanilla or mocha.
Okay.
Excellent.
But if you're going to drink something cold, the Dawa bar is right over there. So
that's a very good point.
All right. So, Terry, what do you have for your next round here?
You know, this goes to Hidden Gems, the cast members out at Rafiki's Planet Watch, out at the conservation station out there. Inside, the questions they're able to answer is incredible. You know, and most people that do go out there, not enough people do, but most of the people that do find their way out there wind up just going to the petting zoo area and turning around and leaving. If you go inside, spend some time with the cast members, talk to them. They're very knowledgeable. They brought out a baby alligator for us to pet last time. They were telling us all about the snakes that they have and going into great detail to the point that we were there almost past closing. We wanted to go out there just for 5 minutes. We were out there an hour and a half. And it's the cast members out there that make that. They're that hidden gem.
Very cool. All right, so Don, you have one more for us?
Yeah, one more obvious place that a lot of people don't pay attention to is the queue for the Kelly River Rapids. People just, you know, I mean, to me, it's not quite up to the Everest queue as far as detail, but there's a lot of really cool things, and if you, they always have like somebody sounding like they're talking on two-way radios and stuff like that, and they're chatting back and forth about people or they're about different tours leaving, and again, all the details that go into that queue, it's almost enjoyable just waiting in the queue to get to the ride. You know, just to go through all that and see, you know, I just love all those details. I mean, you know, it's funny when, you know, people always compare things like, you know, you can go to Six Flags or whatever. There's no fun or no enjoyment waiting in lines in those places. You know, there's nothing to it, you know, right. Whereas this, there's so much to this. It's not like you're even waiting to me. So that's again something that we like to do. So
I think you could. I think you could stand in line there and not ride it because you didn't want to get wet, and you'd still have a good time, and it'd be worth your time to go through the line in that Kelly River Rapids. I agree. That's a great cue.
Well, for my last tip, I'm going to go back to food and Animal Kingdom Lodge. Because this is one of my favorite little hidden gem secrets. Why? Because it's free. And how often do you get to say that about Disney World? But every afternoon, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you go up to the front desk at Animal Kingdom Lodge and ask about it, they do restaurant tours of Jiko, Boma, and Sanaa, all three of the Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants. The tours run about half an hour. They take you through and they cover decor. They talk about the architecture, you know, what the architect was trying to convey, what that decor is trying to create for you in the restaurants. They'll talk about some of their signature menu items. And then usually they'll even have you sample a menu item. Commonly it's you know, something that's been prepared for the buffet at Boma that day. But it could also be something, you know, one of the appetizers off the menu at Chico, or, you know, just a little taste of something that's being prepared for that night's menu at Sana'a. You know, again, it's a chance to get a guided opportunity to take in that extraordinary level of detail that went into the planning and construction of Animal Kingdom Lodge. And as a bonus for spending your half hour doing that, you get to taste some great food you know, spend a half hour in the air conditioning in the late afternoon, which I think is hard to beat.
Hey, Aaron, is that three separate tours, or is it one tour that covers all three of those restaurants?
I'm not sure now that they've added Sana'a to the mix, because when it was just Boma and Jiko, they did both of them together. But I mean, just the walking from, you know, Boma to Jiko to Sana'a is going to take up a good chunk of half an hour. So I don't know yet. I don't know. And I'm hoping to find out about that. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge for the first time coming up here in September. So I'm going to make some inquiries.
Enjoy the fact-finding mission.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to finding all kinds of facts from that balcony.
Taking one for the team, huh?
That's right. You know, sometimes one has to punish oneself. All right, so before we wrap up, does anybody have anything that they feel like we have to reference that you didn't get a chance to share?
Take your time going through the Oasis.
You've heard about our favorite hidden gems in Animal Kingdom Theme Park and the Animal Kingdom Lodge. We'd love to hear from you, because I'm sure you've got some other ideas about hidden gems as well. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at DizDadsPodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster, and with me have been Don Donfris.
Good night, everybody.
Terry Hawkins.
Good night, all.
And Kevin Grossman.
Aloha and farewell.
And before we let him go, we need to wish Terry safe travels. We're probably not going to hear him on the podcast again before his epic family journey begins, which will include the next time we hear from Terry should be doing probably a trip report show about his visit to Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Seas, right, Terry?
That's correct, and that's not until March or April.
All right, so safe travels.
Thank you very much. Take care, all.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.